Today's podcast is presented by Podgo. Podgo is the easiest way for you to monetize on your podcast, providing podcasters with a flat rate for an ad space so that you can always know how much you get when you include an ad from Podgo. Apply today and become a member and immediately be connected with advertisers that fit your audience. That's podgo.co at podgo.co. And be sure to add Talking Sports with Manny in the How Did You Hear About Podgo section of the application. Thank you so much. What's good, everybody? Welcome to another episode of the Back Row Redskins Show. Let's get it. So, guys, this is Victory Monday. We haven't had a Victory Monday in a long time, so we got to enjoy this one. So we beat the Cincinnati Bengals 20-9. You know, the game still felt like mad to me, but I mean, a win is a win, right? So we start off the first quarter with a punt after four plays. Then Cincinnati goes 14 plays, 6 minutes and 56 seconds and missed the field goal. Then we come out 8 plays and scored a touchdown. I mean, on a 76-yard drive. That was amazing because we don't score touchdowns often in the first quarter. We always kind of start out slow, right? So that happens. And then the Bengals fumble the ball after I think it was Chase Young that had a heck of a hit on Joe Burrow. And, the ball went into the end zone and they brought the ball out at the 20-yard line. So that was a momentum changer right there because had the Bengals scored, it would have been 7-7, and I believe the Bengals possibly win the game. So in the second quarter, we punt the ball after 3 plays. Then the Bengals go down 53 yards and score a touchdown. But guess what? They missed the field goal. I mean, they missed the extra point. So 7-6 Washington. We get our next possession. We punt the ball. The Bengals get their next possession. They score a field goal, and they're up 9-7. Then we get the interception. Then it was a missed field goal, punt, touchdown by Washington in the late third quarter to go up 14-9. The Bengals punt, Washington kick a field goal, punt by the Bengals, field goal by Washington. Then in the fourth quarter was, you know, a bunch of punts and turnover on downs, missed field goal by Hopkins, who was having a good game up until that point. So the game was just very, very weird. It just kind of went back and forth. Now to kind of get into the stats a little bit, then we can kind of dissect what really happened in this game. The Bengals obviously lost Joe Burrow with an ACL tear. I feel sorry for him. He's a very, very good player. And he has lots of connections with some of our guys. Dwayne Haskins was the guy that took the job from him in Ohio State, but they remained close. Terry McLaurin and the rest of them, I mean, they really, really felt bad for their brother. You know, it's a brotherhood, regardless of, you know, teams and everything. These guys have gone to war together in the past, and it was unfortunate that Joe Burrow was knocked out the game. He had 203 yards passing and a touchdown. I mean, he was shredding our defense. Even though that the defense played well, I mean, he was that dude. And Tyler Boyd was having a heck of a game. Up until that point, I think he had like up to like 7 receptions for over 70 yards at that time at that point. But yeah, he still ended up with a pretty good game. But Samaje Perine had 19 yards, Ryan Finley 19. They were not able to run the ball, which is something that the Washington football team have struggled with. But they were able to stop these guys from running the ball, which was pretty awesome to see. You look at what they did in the receiving game. Tyler Boyd had 9 receptions, 85 yards. A.J. Green had 41 yards and a score. Giovanni Bernard pitched in with a few here and there. T. Higgins didn't have a good game. That's a guy that's been surging a steal in the draft in the second round. He was a guy that I wanted the Washington football team to go ahead and draft. Joe Burrow did suffer that fumble. They intercepted the ball from us. They also had a couple sacks. Khalid Kareem and as well as Carl Lawson, they had a sack apiece. They had tons of tackles for losses. So, I mean, their defense played well earlier on, but as the game wore on, it was just a changing of the game. Now, in the special teams, the Cincinnati Bengals struggled. The Redskins fans have been pissed off at Hopkins for missing a lot of field goals, but Randy Bullock missed two field goals and one extra point. And these are areas that you have to solidify if you want to win games. So really, Randy Bullock, man, he was literally our best player this week. Let's look at what the Washington football team did stat-wise. Alex Smith had 166 yards passing, one touchdown, one interception. But Alex Smith was real solid. He was able to make plays when you needed plays to be made. You have Antonio Gibson, who had 16 carries for 94 yards and a score. J.D. McKissic ran the ball very well, 43 yards. Peyton Barber pitched in with 28. So it was awesome to see the Washington football team run the ball and get some big chunk of yardage. Terry McLaurin just continues to do his thing in the NFL. He had 5 receptions for 84 yards. J.D. McKissic pitched in with 3 receptions. Nobody else really had an impact receiving the ball. But Cam Sims did have one screen pass that was nice. You know, he caught it and ran for that first down. So it was still good to see Cam Sims involved in the game. Steven Sims, welcome back to Washington football. He had a score. It was kind of good to see him have a decent game, even though statistically we weren't great. But hey, we did what we needed to do to seal this game. We had Chase Young force that fumble, which was very, very good. Fabian Moreau had an interception when the backup came in. Then we got after the quarterback. We got after the quarterback mainly when Joe Burrow was out the game. But still, we did what we were supposed to do against a lesser talented quarterback. Ryan Kerrigan had a sack. Montez Sweat had a sack. You had Tim Settle with a sack. Then you had Jimmy Moreland and James Smith Williams with a half a sack each. So it was good to kind of get after the quarterback. We had some guys with some tackles for losses. You had KPL out there. Kerrigan, of course. Bostic. Sweat. Settle. We were out there getting after these guys. And like I always say, a tackle for loss is as good as a sack. So it was kind of good to see these guys come out there and ball. Even though we didn't have a great safety play, Akpi made a tackle. Akpi had an interception in his hands and he just dropped it. A lot of us are tired of Akpi. That's definitely a position of need next year. Safety in general, just not free safety, but as well as strong safety. Even though we have Landon Collins, you want to just kind of continue to add to what you have. And Kim Carl had another great game. He led us in tackles with 9 total tackles, 4 assisted and 5 solo. Kim Carl just continues to make plays in terms of, tackling. He does a good job tackling. Struggles in coverage, but he does a good job. Hey, Ronald Darby had a game, man. He broke up a lot of passes. He was a guy that everybody was raving about, and he's definitely a guy that we need to pay and bring back next year moving forward. Kendall Fuller, he struggled, but overall, the defense played well. They didn't play great, but they played well. Dustin Hopkins went 2 out of 3. At least he didn't miss 2 field goals like Bullock did, so we thank God that he made the field goals when he was needed. I'm liking Danny Johnson on kickoff returns. Steve Sims can stick to punts. Now that Steve Sims is probably not one of our top 2, maybe top 3 wide receivers currently, it's okay for him to be on special teams. But I know in the beginning of the year, I didn't want Sims on special teams, being that he was our number 2 wide receiver at the time. But now we have Cam Sims taking over that role, and he's doing a great job. You have Isaiah Wright pitching in on that role, and he's doing a good job. So overall, good game, good win for Washington football team. All right, guys, so this is a portion of the episode where I break down some numbers for the team. Let's look at a guy like Terry McLaurin. This season, he's had to receive the ball more. I mean, he's like literally the only weapon we have in the receiving game for the most part. Last year, he had 919 yards receiving in 14 games. Already this season in 10 games, he is at 871. It's safe to say that he's going to shatter the 1,000 yard mark this season. He's also on pace for 99 receptions. Last year, he had 58 receptions. This season already, he's at 62 receptions, and he continues to get better. And because the NFC East is so bad, he's going to play some defenses that are not so good. And if the quarterback is putting the ball on the money, Terry McLaurin has the potential to shatter a lot of records for Washington football this season. The touchdown numbers are low because of the quarterback play. It's not necessarily Terry not scoring touchdowns. The three touchdowns that he's had, it's only been one that was a deep one. The rest was kind of like he created those himself. Terry's one of the top leaders in YAC, yards after catch. And like I said, this season, he is definitely on his way to having one of his best seasons ever. So he's at 871 yards right now, right? We divided by 10 and we multiply times 16 games to get the projection. So right now he's on pace for 1,000 yards, 393. So it's kind of safe to say that he's on pace for 1,400 yards receiving this season. Can he do it? I think he can. If he stays healthy. I know last season he missed two games and was very, very close to hitting that 1,000-yard mark in his first season. Terry McLaurin is a monster, man. The guy is legit. I'm enjoying having this guy on our team. And to think that we drafted him to be a guy that was going to be a special teams kind of person or whatever the coach was thinking at the moment. Terry McLaurin is a beast. Already, he's superstar status. There's no doubt in my mind that he can get to 100 catches this year and 1,400 yards. And I'll give him maybe three more touchdowns. So let's look at 100 catches, 1,400 yards, and six touchdowns. Let's try to get Terry McLaurin to the Pro Bowl game. Let's try to reward our young star with an appearance in the Pro Bowl because he deserves it. I understand this is a season that, yes, we're fighting for the playoffs. For the most part, this has not been a good season. So we gotta get excited about something. Let's get excited about our young star, Terry McLaurin. Let's get it. So guys, I just wanted to give Terry his own segment. Terry McLaurin has been amazing this season, but now I'm going to kind of dissect what the rest of the team has done this season in terms of stats. Dwayne Haskins still leads the Washington football team in passing yards, believe it or not. He has 993 yards passing. He has four touchdowns, three interceptions, and his QB rating is 80.3. You have Alex Smith, who's been filling in most recently. He has 918 yards passing. He has two touchdowns and four interceptions and a QB rating of 80.8. Now, you have Kyle Allen, who played a few games. He is at 610 passing yards. He has four passing touchdowns and one interception. And he has a QB rating of 99.3. Now, you can debate who is the better quarterback out of these three guys. Dwayne has had a rough season, but you can argue that Dwayne has the better upside out of these three. There's a potential that none of these three return next season. There's a potential that two out of the three. So a lot could happen next season. The fan base is already looking at the quarterbacks coming out. Zach Wilson, Kyle Trask, Trey Lance. Those are guys that the Washington football team could potentially draft unless we are the second worst team in the league and able to get a guy like Justin Fields. But when you kind of look at how this team is built, the team was not built to win, in my opinion, to start off. We drafted Antonio Gibson as a running back, but at the time I thought he was a wide receiver. You know, we had Darius Geis and then that whole thing fell through. So now you're looking at Antonio Gibson. What do you have in Antonio Gibson? He's getting better and better every single game. The good thing is that he's averaging 4.5 yards per carry. So he's gaining yards, okay? He has 530 yards rushing right now, and that's 10 games in. And he has eight rushing touchdowns. Antonio Gibson, I've been saying this for a while, he has the potential to have 10 or more touchdowns this season. It seems like the Washington football team passes the ball to get to the end zone or get close to the end zone, and then they kind of punch it in. So a lot of these touchdown runs have been like, you know, goal line touches. So it's just so funny that we can't pass for touchdowns, but we can run for them. We can't run the ball, but we can pass the ball. So, I mean, it's just been a weird season. J.D. McKissic has been decent, 217 yards and one rushing touchdown, which was this past weekend. They kind of wanted to reward him. I know Peyton Barber has 2 touchdowns to start the year. Dwayne ran for 1 this year. Kyle Allen ran for 1 this year. So it's like we're running for touchdowns, but we're not passing for touchdowns. Our passing touchdown numbers are terrible. So we've passed for 10 touchdowns this season, and we've ran for 14. It's just crazy to me. 13 rushing touchdowns. So we don't score a lot of touchdowns as a team either way it goes. So I kind of highlighted Terry McLaurin leading us in receiving yards and catches right now. But after Terry, you have J.D. McKissic, who has 44 receptions for 317 yards. No score, but he gets a lot of targets, especially with Alex Smith. He's been getting a lot of targets. Logan Thomas has kind of cooled off. He had a semi-hot start, you can say. 30 receptions right now, 300 yards receiving. Outside of that, you really don't have anybody else. Then you have Antonio Gibson as your 4th leading receiver. That's terrible. Then you have Isaiah Wright at 168 and Dontrell Inman in 148. So wide receiver is something that we definitely have to go grab next year. Quarterback, we might have to go ahead and grab. Tight end, we have to go ahead and grab, because if Terry's leading you right now in receiving and J.D. McKissic is number 2, Logan Thomas at number 3, Antonio Gibson at number 4. So really, there's no receivers in the top 4. Isaiah Wright and Dontrell Inman round out the group. When we switch over gears to the defense, you have John Bostic leading us with 69 tackles right now. Bostic has had a solid season. He has 2 sacks. KPL, 52 tackles. Then you have, you don't even see Cole Holcomb in the top 6 guys in terms of tackles. You have Cameron Carl, who has been starting the last few games, and already he is number 3 in team tackles. The guy is just doing his thing. I think that Cam Carl ends up leading us in tackles this season. I mean, he's trying to gain ground on Bostic, but it seems like Cam Carl is everywhere, flying around the field, making tackles. Landon Collins has 41, even though he's hurt. Jonathan Allen is having a big season tackle-wise with 41. He's being active. He's, you know, trying to stuff the run the best he can. His sack numbers are not up, but hey, you know, it is just all good. I'm going to get into the sack numbers, then the interception numbers, and then we'll wrap up this segment right here. So when we look at the interception numbers for the team, you have Bostic with 2, Cam Carl with 2, Landon Collins with 2. So already you see the linebackers and safeties getting involved in the getting to the quarterback, which is awesome. Then you have Jonathan Allen with 2 sacks, De'Aaron Payne with 0.5. And these sack numbers might not be updated since the last game yesterday, but I'm just going to kind of give you guys the numbers anyways. Yes, these numbers are updated. I'm sorry. Cole Holcomb has a sack. Montez Sweat is leading us in sacks, I believe, with 6 right now. Jimmy Moreland with a half a sack. Chase Young with 3.5 sacks, but his impact is more than just getting to the quarterback. He leads the rookies in QB pressures. You know, Chase Young is just amazing. And you can look at a guy like Tim Settle with 4 sacks and say, oh, Tim Settle has more sacks than Chase Young. Chase Young helps to create sacks for all these guys. Okay, so Tim Settle, yes, he does have 4 sacks. He is that good. Matt Iadanez, when he was, healthy, he is that good. So this defensive line is our strength, and I believe that we improve in other positions this season. You have Ryan Kerrigan with 5.5 sacks. You have a guy like Ryan Anderson who has 0, and it's shocking. I think that Ryan Anderson is a guy that we let walk this season. James Smith Williams has half a sack. Matt Iadanez had 1.5 before the injury. So these are our sack leaders. These are the guys that are leading us in sacks this year. And as far as interceptions, Kendall Fuller is out there. I think he's tied for number 3 or number 4 in the NFL with 4 interceptions. That's big. A lot of his interceptions came early on. I mean, I think 2 came in 1 game, but all in all, Kendall Fuller has been real solid, and he has a shot to make the Pro Bowl team this year. You also have Fabian Monroe with 2, Jimmy Moreland with 1, Landon Collins with 1, and Cole Holcomb with 1. So that's how we fare in terms of, you know, interceptions and sacks. Now, let's look at the field goal kicking. Dustin Hopkins has been terrible this season. When it comes to field goal kicks between 20 to 29 yards, he's 2 for 2. Field goal kicks between 30 and 39 yards, he's 5 for 6. Pretty good. Field goal kicks between 40 to 49, he is 6 out of 10. And I think that's where he struggles. He cannot hit the field goals that are between 40 to 49. I mean, that's where kickers make their bread and butter. So we'll see if he comes back next season. Personally, I like Hop, but hey, we have to improve at every position come this offseason. And 50-plus field goals, he is 1 for 2. So he needs to do some improving. The return game, the punt return game has been terrible. We haven't really done much in the return game. Kickoff return game has been decent. Danny Johnson has been okay. But in terms of the punt return game, we need help. We need work. So that's the end of this segment. So guys, this week, Thanksgiving, in a few days, we play the Dallas Cowboys. And whether you are a fan who wants draft picks or whether you are a fan who doesn't care about the season, there's only two games a year that we care about. And that's playing Dallas in Dallas and playing Dallas in DC. So this game is going to be big. I'm all in. I'm hyped. The energy is back whenever we get to play Dallas. And Dallas had a good game yesterday versus the Minnesota Vikings. Kirk Cousins did some Kirk Cousins type things. Wasn't able to carry them to a win. But I don't really put the blame all on Kirk Cousins. Justin Jefferson should have made that catch on third down. But anyway, so we are playing the Dallas Cowboys and Andy Dalton is back. CeeDee Lamb looks great. CeeDee Lamb has been great all season. Then you have Amari Cooper and Michael Gallup. So you're going to have another trio of wide receivers. We did a good job in containing guys like A.J. Green and T. Higgins yesterday. But today, coming up, we're going to have another trio of pretty good wide receivers to go ahead and cover. I want to see what Darby does versus Amari Cooper. I think Darby probably matches up versus Amari Cooper. And then maybe Kendall Fuller and CeeDee Lamb. I just don't know how they're going to use these corners. But expect to see different people guarding different people. It doesn't matter who's in the slot, who's on the outside. I think that Jack Del Rio is going to try to do his best to match up his corners versus these wide receivers. It's going to be a big game because right now, every team in the NFC least has 3 wins. Eagles have 3 wins. They have that tie. That tie makes them, first place right now. Then you have the Giants, 3 wins, but 2 of their wins came against the Washington football team. So the Washington football team and the Giants cannot end up with the same record. Then Washington still plays Philadelphia this year, and they're still going to play Dallas. So these are big games coming up. If Washington beats Dallas, they can potentially be first place after this next week that's coming up, which is week 11. So it's going to be an interesting game. The Dallas Cowboys offense has looked great. They've looked great, man. And I know Minnesota's defense have been up and down, and they happened to be down yesterday. But Ezekiel Elliott rushed for 100 yards for the first time this season. If Ezekiel Elliott is running for 100 yards, Dallas has a chance of winning a lot of games. I mean, they go as far as Zeke goes. So let's see what happens. Let's see if we can contain Zeke. Let's see if we can contain this passing attack. Let's see if we can exploit this offensive line. If we can exploit this offensive line, then we have a great chance. I mean, last time we knocked out Andy Dalton, and who happens to be a former Bengal. We knocked out Joe Burrow, who is a Bengal. So I don't know what it is with us going after quarterbacks that are associated with Bengals. But anyways, that was a terrible joke. That was a terrible joke. I hope that, both guys are fine. But for the most part, we have been hitting this season. Sometimes we get penalties, like Chase Young have gotten 2 penalties on back-to-back games. But I'm interested to see what the defensive line does versus this offensive line. You have to think about it this way. The Cowboys, they own Thanksgiving. They play a game every Thanksgiving. They host a game every Thanksgiving, and this is their moment. This is what a lot of their fans live for right here. So this game is so big that they don't want to see us succeed. So I expect this game to be tough. It can go either way. I don't even know what the score is going to be. But Alex Smith, 2 years ago, this was the game that he got hurt in, I believe, or maybe it was the game before that. But either way it goes, man, this game has so many storylines. Can Alex Smith lead this team to a first place after this week? Can Terry McLaurin destroy this defense even more, especially now that Trayvon Diggs is gone? So really, who's guarding Terry McLaurin? Trayvon Diggs was their best corner. He's gone. So can Cam Sims step up? Can Sims Jr. step up? Is Isaiah Wright going to step up? Is Logan Thomas going to score? So many storylines on that offense. Can the offensive line have two back-to-back decent games? You know what I'm saying? Can the defense make some tackles? Can the linebackers get an interception? Can the linebackers get some sacks this week? Can the linebackers cover the tight ends and the running backs this week? You know, can the safeties do something positive? You know, Cam Carlos doing his thing, tackling. You know, we're going to need Cam Carlos a lot this week versus Ezekiel Elliott. They're going to try to run the ball a ton. And from running the ball, they're going to open it up to passing. So, and if Troy Ackbee is out there again, oh, Lord have mercy. You can see a Gallup 50 to 60 yard touchdown throw or touchdown or a long deep pass. So a lot of question marks all over the floor. And then for the Cowboys, can that offensive line hold up? Is Andy Dalton going to have flashbacks? Can Michael Gallup finally step up this season after having only one good game? Can Amari Cooper remain consistent? Does CeeDee Lamb go off? Can Ezekiel Elliott have another running, another 100-yard rushing game? So lots of question marks, like I said. I think this game is going to be even. I can't really pick a winner right now. I can't even pick a score. I think both teams are even. After what I've seen these past few weeks and this past weekend, I think it's going to be a close game. You know, I think somewhere like around the 20s. I don't think neither one of these teams gets at 30. It's going to be exciting because Dallas is going to be pissed, and Washington has been playing a little bit better, even though they've not been squeaking out wins. So I'm excited to see what happens. Guys, this is the episode. Thank you guys so much for tuning in. Thank you guys for all the support. I appreciate you guys continuing to support. So let me know, what was your favorite take? What was the worst take? And let's talk about it. Please be sure to share this podcast with as many people as you can. Be sure to follow me on Twitter at Back Row Redskins. Let's get it. Y'all be blessed.